So today I'm going to talk about farmers, drivers to diversification, and I work with specialty crop farmers, so anything from fruits, vegetables, herbs, sod. But this specific project is on fruits and vegetables. And what I want to talk about this is pretty much the specialty crop industry is increasing a lot. I have seen a lot of increasing sales, a lot of increasing production. I think we have a microphone because it's recording too. So we've seen that the industry is growing not only for the demand side, but only on the supply. We see that the consumers are demanding more and more fresh produce, maybe for health reasons, or it may be for other health trends. There may be some federal and state initiatives that is driving consumers to want more fresh produce. I myself see me eating more fruits and vegetables. And I think we can all see how we have so many initiatives and trends and farmers markets. So the demand is demanding, the consumers are demanding more and more fresh produce. However, I look at the supply side, so I look at the growers. And when I look at the specialty crop growers, I see two kinds of very distinct types of growers. We have the small diversified growers that are growing many, many crops, anything up to 40 crops. But then we also have the specialized growers that sell primarily wholesale. And those two types of growers have different production systems, and we could expect different barriers and different markets and different perceptions as well. So what I wanted to look is, how do we have these two trends, and how is diversification playing a role, and most importantly, how markets are influencing this? So we have the local foods type of grower. It can be urban grower, it can be a grower serving local farmers markets or restaurants or food hubs. And they're primarily sell in direct-to-consumer markets. So 80% sales are through direct-to-consumer markets, 80% of farmers. And the 20% of intermediary markets, in the 20% sell to intermediary markets. However, the one analysis from the census, the latest census data, I found that even though most farmers sell locally to direct-to-consumers, bigger amount of dollars are sold to intermediary markets. And then we have the other, the bigger growers who may be merging or acquiring more land, but they tend to be more specialized. So what I see when I look at the specialty crop industry, I see how markets are changing that. And I wanted to understand how markets are influencing diversification. This is just a photo of what are the health trends that are occurring in the industry. So I think everybody can have heard this phrase, do not put your eggs, all your eggs in one basket. And that's pretty much the motivation of farmers to diversify. The theory talks about different motivations and different frameworks for diversification, being one of them the horizontal and vertical diversification, where farmers may be diversifying into more products, so they're having a horizontal diversification. Or farmers may be diversifying vertically. So they may be producing but also adding value, and they may also be transporting and wholesaling their products. There's another one of on-farm and off-farm diversification, and that's primarily related to international development when you have farmers also working part-time in the farm, but can also be applied to urban systems here where you have farmers also having another source of income. And then the other one is the crop and market diversification, and that's what I'm more interested on. There's been a lot of research on how important it is to diversify. We have the sustainable, the SARE, we have the sustainable research initiatives, we have the ORAI, where all of them are coming from the USDA administration saying we need to improve diversification because diversification is good for the systems. So I'm coming from the crop and market diversification and focusing in crops and understanding how markets drive that diversification. So I define crop diversification as the intentional biodiversity of inputs in a fruit and vegetable system. So there are different motivations to diversify. Two of them, the most cited in the economics literature, are the financial motives. So we want farmers to spread risk, improve profitability, increase sources of revenue. But we also have the environmental motives. So we have farmers that also want to build these more resilient ecosystems where basically they spread the number of crops to try to build systems that can overcome climatic changes. When I looked also into that, how does the government define diversified systems, and how do they assign funding or grant money to improve diversification? most of the literature is based on crop and row crop diversification. So what they say is if a corn and soybean production system or if a corn and soybean farm diversifies, that system has more than four crops, has anything from 3 to 4 crops, excuse me. However, when I look at the growers that I work with, they may grow 40 crops. So I don't think, when I look at that, I don't see that as a realistic definition of what is a diversified system. And looking at fruits and vegetable growers, we know that not only they grow a lot of crops, but they also sell through a lot of markets. And that market channel, they transition. They may start with farmers markets and maybe shifting towards wholesale or food hubs or intermediary markets. So there is very little information of what drives farmers to diversify. I have many colleagues working on the horticulture side looking at the impact of diversification or what are the technologies that can improve diversification. But I think it is important to understand what helps them or not to diversify before we spend more time and money on understanding what we need to do is how can we help them better to diversify. And second, I want to understand how market access influences. I have the hypothesis that market access can really affect many decisions of the farmers. So the second objective of this article is to define diversification in the specialty crop context. How can we define how much is diversified? How many crops does a farmer have to have? And certainly four crops to me does not really tell the story of a diversified operation. So those are the two objectives, to categorize farm diversification, and second is identify what are the internal and external factors driving that crop diversification. To do that, we use an econometric strategy. First, for those of you who like to get into the modeling, I'm going to spend a little bit on that. So we have a list of 30 explanatory variables. So we had an extensive list of explanatory variables at different levels, at the farmer level, farm level, and macro level, or the county level. We also use an instrumental variable because we may think that, okay, if I'm a farmer selling to a local market, there may be some unobservable variables that drive farmers to diversify and also sell to local markets. One of them, philosophical attitudes. So the instrumental variable can help me to control for those unobserved factors that I'm not measuring because I didn't survey them. And the third strategy was to have a quantile regression, which basically a quantile regression, instead of getting the dependent variable in one single pot, it creates a four or five, depending on the quantile that you want, is four or five segments of the dependent variable, and understand what drives each segment of that dependent variable. In other words, how diversification is spread out through the distribution of the diversification number of crops. So the data was a web-based survey of fruit and vegetable farmers that were located in 16 states. We sent over 4,000 invitations, and we provided a $2 bill incentive. If you make the numbers, that was a lot of money. And one of the things about my business, how do you spend so much money on that? Well, those are the incentives that we need to get growers so they can answer that. But we got an amazing 36% response rate. So we're very happy with that. So this study has a subsample of over 1,500 growers. And when I plotted the number of crops, we can see that we have a lot of growers are growing anything from 0 to 10. But we also see this tail. And to me, defining a diversified operation only with four crops, we're missing these guys. So that's part of the objective that I want. So the questionnaire had over 53 questions, anything from farm characteristics, demographics, whatever you will see at a survey. But also we wanted to get the beliefs and perceptions, because when we look at the literature of technology adoption, beliefs and perceptions can drive a lot of our decisions. And I think you can relate. If you think that Chilean wine is better, you're going to buy Chilean wine, whatever they say about Napa Valley wine. So beliefs and perceptions can really shape farmers' decision-making. So that's just to show you what is a list of variables, descriptive stats, how did our sample look like, which I'm not going to spend more time on it. And we used we framed the study on the mean variance approach. Basically, what the approach says, or the theory says, that farmers are going to choose the appropriate crop mix that maximizes their utility. And then we have this model. Basically, the number of crops depends on internal factors and external factors, which is the list of variables from a previous slide. So internal factors are perceptions, beliefs, and demographics, and external factors are access to land, markets, technologies, and information sources. So what the models we had at first, we have an OLS with the robust standard errors. We checked for normality of errors. We checked for variance inflation factor to find multicollinearity issues, and we were good to go. We did the instrumental variable for those unobserved factors that I previously explained, which told me that there was no issue with endogeneity for that specific variable. And then we defined quantile regression. So the quantile regression basically sets, we let the model to set their quantiles. And I think this is one of the most interesting findings to me, is that it got four quantiles, anything from 1 to 5, 4 crops, and 5 to 15, 16, 28, and 29 to 43. So we had four quantiles. And then we did a wall test to understand if there's no constant distribution across the dependent variable. So these are the results. What drives crop diversification from the OLS? So from the first model, access to local markets. Basically, if you're going to sell to local markets, you want to be the one stop for suppliers. You want to sell diversified. You want to go from fruits, vegetables, herbs. So you get that customer demand and you satisfy them. But also organic farming. There's a bunch of literature talking about how organic farmers diversify their operation to become more resilient, but also to acquire and maintain certification. A lot of research on high tunnels and season extension technologies. Those farmers are going to increase diversification and also growing a combination of fruits and vegetables and accessing different markets through those fruits and vegetables. The barriers, labor. We know that labor is a very important, it's a very important constraint for any agricultural system. Location, pest pressures in the south or the delta can actually diminish the number of crops. Farming part-time, and that's according to the farmer time and information from other farmers. Basically, if you are acquiring information from other farmers on the most important crops, you're going to grow those crops. You're not going to be trial and error. And then with the quantile regression gave us these very nice charts where we basically say, okay, those are specialized farmers. How do we help them increase diversification? How do we help them to be more diversified? And we saw that markets, in many variables, local markets, number of markets, diversity of markets, but also if they're a minority, they tend to be more diversified. If you want to go from low to medium diversification, if you're a female, you want to grow. And we know that female farmers tend to have more sustainable diversified systems from the literature. Medium diversification, here's where extension can really help, because if you have a good extension information that can help you support that transition to become more diversified, you can improve your level of diversification and being positive towards your farming system. And that's a philosophical attitude. And here just are our barriers. So I'm going to go quickly through my conclusions, but I think market access, and we were able to prove that market access and crop diversification are very much linked. And this grower-farmer-customer relationship, there's a typo there. Grower and customer relationship can help farmers adjust that because they can obtain real feedback, real-time feedback. Accessing local markets can help, and I think that's a very important implication for other researcher and stakeholder. And is that primarily if you're going to if you want to increase diversification into your farming systems, you have to have access to local markets, but also those policies need to be stayed more local than industry-wide. And environmental and market conditions are important. I think we also were able to define diversification in the context of fresh market fruits and vegetables. And I also think that we need to look into on-farm and off-farm diversification sources for future research. And with that, I want to acknowledge my co-author and master's student, Nick Lancaster. I want to acknowledge ORAI for funding support and the students working in my lab. I would be happy to take questions. One minute for questions. I have my moderator here too.
Yes.
When you're talking to farmers that have that are in that lower end of diversification, mm-hmm. Which seem to be the majority of farmers in your survey, mm-hmm. What was their how open are they to diversification? And were there questions on the survey that assessed that?
So we ask them about their perceptions towards the farming system. And what we know is that those farmers that are between 1 and 10 crops were very much satisfied with the farming system. So I think it's a lot about the beliefs. So when you look at, is a farmer going to adopt something? First, are they able to adopt? And second, are they willing? And I don't think the willingness, unless they have access to those markets, is going to be changed. So if usually what we saw is that those farmers grow in more specialized operations, they have access to wholesale markets. So let's say they would sell everything to a wholesaler, or they may sell it to an institution. What I think one of the primary access is their access to markets changing. Right? If that wholesale, which can happen at night, talk to growers, so basically the wholesale needs to lower their price they're gonna pay. That's going to be a very good incentive for them to look for other markets. And when they look for other markets, they find that we have a lot of research on local market pricing. We find that prices they acquire are higher. So if they're small enough to provide some volume to that local market, and their prices are going to be higher, I think profit incentives or financial incentives are going to be important. But I think first, the more I look into technology adoption, the more I see farmers just satisfied with what they do. And you can give them all the incentives you want, but if they're happy with their system and nothing changes in regards to their market channels, they're just going to stay that specialized. And I think that is okay. I don't think we need everybody to grow 50 crops. Any other question? Yes. So I think that is one of the factors. I don't think it's the only factor. So one example is the corn industry right now, the corn growers. Prices have been low for the longest. They may switch to soybean or wheat, depending on where they are. But I don't think farmers change so radically depending on 1 year previous price. I think there has to be a trend. And even so, if they have the market to sell, they're gonna continue that until it's really not profitable anymore. I think it's one of the variables, previous year's prices. But prices of fruits and vegetables vary so much. There's a lot of volatility, and that's when I think market access and local market access can help you lower that. But again, that's not a solution for everybody, because if you have a farmer with 1,000 acres of tomatoes, he's very well fine with the wholesaler. Pushing that 1,000 acres of tomato through farmers market is not feasible for them.